back on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Good morning to all of you joining us locally by radio and streaming online. We appreciate you tuning in. Today is Sunday, October 28th, 2018, and I'm your host, Hertzy Hertz. I'm here in studio with Jordan. This is an open conversation, and we welcome and encourage listener interaction with your phone calls to 952-946-6205, your emails to radio@mnatheist.org, tweet us at Atheist Talk, or check out the Facebook page, Atheist Talk. The phone number is only available when we are live, but you can always email or tweet whether we're live or you're listening to the podcast. Satanism. Rituals and human sacrifice. According to some, this is the norm for All Hallows' Eve. Today, Jordan and I are going to go over a video from the Prophecy Club, or at least half a video from the Prophecy Club, talking about how evil the history of this holiday is. The video is old enough that it does have a website on it, but the ideas definitely seem to be from the mid-80s. I'm just not sure if that's the 1880s or the 1980s. Jordan, good morning. Welcome to Atheist Talk.
Good morning.
So, I asked you to watch this video.
You did.
I was kind of hoping to get a Wiccan on to actually talk about what happens in the Wiccan tradition for this holiday. Unfortunately, I was a little late, partially because I had a cold.
Okay.
That's my excuse. Sticking to it. So this video.
Oh, it was entertaining. I liked watching it a couple times just to make sure I got everything that he was trying to get across to us.
That is one thing I've seen, because I've watched a few of these videos now, that what they do is they just keep throwing. They'll throw thing after thing after thing, and the idea is to overload it so you can't make arguments against each of them. So you basically have to do kind of what we're doing, which is a breakdown of as many arguments as we can fit in the 45 minutes to an hour that we have. So we are going to be talking a lot about druids, and one of interesting note that I have here is that the main source of written information about druids were actually the Romans, who were trying to take over the land. So I am taking a lot of these reports with a large grain of salt.
Very large grain.
Yeah, because I feel they're probably exaggerating to pad their resume.
Just a little bit.
Just a little.
You know, if the Romans couldn't have their way, then, well, they... No way at all.
Well, and we've seen this before in history where it's like, oh, these savages. And then we actually look at the history and it's like, no, I'm sorry, colonizers.
Yep.
You were the savages.
Well, and that's how part of the video starts. I'll talk about the Celtic people. You know, I can't remember what he said exactly, but they were like fiercely aggressive people. It's like, no, they weren't.
Well, and my favorite part is fiercely aggressive people, according to the Romans who were trying to take over their land. Let's think about this for a minute. But the video itself starts by watching a bunch of kids and parents running around trick-or-treating, and the verbiage they use, it almost actually made me think, I was like, oh, wait, is this the wrong video and that they're going to be okay? And it's like, no, they're not going to be okay with Halloween. No.
It's like, oh, is it so innocent? You might be surprised.
And who was the group that made this video?
The Prophecy Club.
And what are they, what branch of Christianity?
As far as I know, it's like evangelical. Yeah. You can actually find them on YouTube.
I thought Halloween was like a recognized Catholic holiday.
Well, that's All Hallows' Eve, which is what they tried to turn.
What they originally turned it into.
Yeah, it's one of those. It's one of those things where it's like, okay, let's see what we can
actually satanic corruption.
We can, that's actually something we can get into that a little later on. Once it shows like Christians actually what they tried to do to because they it's like. Yeah, we can get into that later. They wanted to make it their own thing.
Yes. So. Well, and the first thing we have to mention, because this is the first thing the lecturer mentions, which we don't have a name for him, so he's just going to be the lecturer. He starts by talking about how the word is Samhain.
Yes. It's Samhain, but it's pronounced Samhain.
Yeah, because that's the Gaelic pronunciation.
Yes, it is.
Yes. Yep. Oh, and by the way, that third voice you hear is Eric, our awesome producer, who, since there's only two of us in studio, I'm like, hey, pop in.
Yeah. So I'll be, like, saying dumb things over the course of the show.
Oh, yes.
Excellent.
But yes, so what I love is that his first thing is he claims that Samhain is the Lord of Death. And I'm like, great, we can start ticking the nope box.
Yeah.
Because I could not find anything about Samhain being a Lord of Death at all.
Yeah, and basically what it was a celebration because everybody, it was the end of harvest. It was the transition from summer into winter, and they were basically thanking the earth for a bountiful harvest. And then that's kind of where, you know, the whole Halloween, I guess, ideology comes in. As far as they'd recognize that they're like lost souls or dead souls, they would come back, and it's like they would, that's what the whole trick or treat thing. They would leave little treats out for them.
Well, and what's interesting is it's also their new year, which if you think about it, if you don't have like a specific calendar where you're like, okay, this happens here, it makes a lot of sense that their new year starts at the end of the harvest.
Right. Because basically you do get your harvest and then that's it.
You're done.
Yeah.
If you think about it, they had a really long vacation during winter.
Yes.
I'm kind of jealous. But yeah, everything dies, and then in the spring, things are reborn. And then if you think about it, you have the summer solstice usually.
Yes.
And that's also when you would kind of have a happy, hey, everything's coming back. We survived.
Yep. Yes.
But yeah, we do actually have to move on because we're going to move into Stonehenge.
Oh, yes.
Yes. What I love is that during this, he litters it with pictures of basically modern Wiccans. And I actually wonder if some of those were like from movies or something.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yes, but doing, you know, basically ritualist type stuff.
And they got any Halloween 2, Season of the Witch? That's a great Stonehenge movie.
Wait, is that the one with Nicolas Cage?
No.
Okay.
It's the only movie in the Halloween series that didn't follow Michael Myers.
I think that's the third one.
It's the second one.
Is it? I thought it was the third one. Okay.
Oh, you might be right. I think it's the third one.
Yeah, because it's the third one where they bring in Jamie.
I don't know. I'll double check.
Okay. You fact check this.
Okay. We can get in the whole Halloween franchise. We can do that a whole nother show.
Maybe some Patreon.
All right.
Because I actually have not seen any of the Halloween movies.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
We'll talk about that later. But yes, we'll move on to Stonehenge, which of course everyone should have an idea of what Stonehenge. It's the big rocks in the middle of, you know, what is nowhere. They have found out that
it's Southern England. Where it is.
Yeah, and they found out that, you know, there's reasons that it's where it is and such. And he talks about how there's 4,000 human skeletal remains that are definitely human sacrifice. Yes,
that is the only logical explanation that he can give. It's like massive human sacrifice there.
Yeah.
Or over time, but still.
Oh, yeah. Which, I mean, it's one of those, because then he talks about all the different, because there's multiple types of stuff. Whoa, crap baskets. I almost spilled my drink. There are different, I guess, types of Stonehenges, or there's different Stonehenges all over England and parts of Europe and such. And he's like, well, obviously each of them should have their own human sacrifice. I'm like, okay, we're starting to get into ridiculous numbers here. Like, how many people were alive during this time, and how many people are you willing to sacrifice before you start going, hey, wait a minute, how are we going to propagate?
Yes.
I did actually look this up, though. The Smithsonian actually only mentions one body that they found interesting and may have been used for human sacrifice. It was a body we shot with several flint-tipped arrows from multiple angles, and that's all they had. And I was like, so flint-tipped also means that this was really old skeleton. This was not potentially before even the Celts. Though, I mean, honestly, I'm not an expert. So, yeah, you can cite me on that if I'm wrong. A more recent article by CNN, and actually was echoed by numerous web news sources, like Washington Post and such, noted that there were bodies there, a lot of them from about 3000 BC, specifically because Stonehenge was used as a burial site, which I'm like, okay, just because somebody is buried in a spot doesn't mean that's human sacrifice. Because you could look at our cemeteries and go, human sacrifice.
Yes, we just decided to properly recognize them with their tombstone.
Well, with the tombstones, they line up to stuff, Jordan. Tombstones.
Yeah, that's right. Yep, you're right. That obviously means something.
Obviously. I know that there are some people who it's like they all had to be, like they have to be buried with their head facing some, which.
Yes. Yeah. I've heard something. That too. I don't know what that's about.
Something about when Jeebus comes back. Anyways. But yeah. So it was.
Or Jesus. Depends.
Yeah. It depends on how you want to. Anyways. But again, it's a cemetery. So, I mean. This article came out last August. So yeah. Very easily to get.
Well, there's just so much mystery around Stonehenge anyway. It's like, well, maybe we'll try to spice it up a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know.
Oh, yes. But, I mean, you have to take a look at, and again, you have to take a look at so many angles on this. How many people were alive? Human sacrifices. Yeah. It just doesn't seem to.
Did they bring other people in from other regions just to sacrifice them in that one spot?
Well, yeah. And
they could have, but I don't know.
And admit it, supposedly, according to Julius Caesar, which I'll mention again later, you know, supposedly they would sacrifice criminals first.
Yeah.
To which I was like, okay, so I mean, not great, but still a little better than just, you know, average Joe.
Just a random person.
Yep. But then they would do slaves and thralls if they couldn't find enough criminals. And again, it's kind of that, okay, but how many slaves are you willing to give up before you're like, wait a minute.
The Mayans killed millions? I think.
Yeah. Again, there is a course of time piece over that, too. So, because, I mean, how many? But yes, I'm just asking this conspiracy questions right now on this. However, we are coming up on the break, and we'll return to Atheist Talk with Jordan talking about our most satanic holiday of Halloween. I'm Hertzy Hertz, and you're listening to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, Gregory Rich, founder and chief at Habitation Furnishing and Design, and now I'd like to invite you to kill your Sunday evenings with me right here on AM 950 with Drink in the Style. It's a one-hour-long conversation of interior design, art, architecture, and pretty much anything else visual and aesthetic, all while enjoying some booze handcrafted by our friends at Mill Valley Kitchen. Can you think of a better way to spend Sunday evenings? Drink in the Style, Sundays at 5 p.m.
Being a dog is awesome, except when you really gotta go, but you're stuck inside. That's why I had my human call the Urban Dog. Daily walks, field trips, play groups, one-on-one time, safe off-leash play, and pet sitting. I love being an Urban Dog.
The Urban Dog works with your schedule and can create a plan that fits your needs. The Urban Dog. Exercise, explore, socialize. Let the journey begin. Call 651-231-6333. That's 651-231-6333.
Native Earth Radio is proud to announce we're adding an extra hour.
1 hour's too fast.
That's right, Uncle Curtis.
Great, more time for me to share important information about our sacred animals.
And report national Native news with reporters all around the country, Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m.
We are awake.
Find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and streaming live on Facebook.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe, and I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and Francine Dinah. If you've never been to Cucumbers, it's a buffet-style restaurant with a huge variety of salads, homemade soups, bakery items, and hot entrees that change daily and nightly. Plus, our always fresh fruit and delicious ice cream. We're open for lunch and dinner, but Sunday brunch is my favorite time at Cucumbers. With scrambled eggs, waffles, French toast, bacon, sausage, baked ham, chicken fajitas, brunch potatoes, warm gooey cinnamon rolls, and many other items to choose from, it's no wonder why Cucumbers has always been a popular Sunday destination. So whether you're looking to skip Mass, someplace to go after Mass, or just great food to maintain your Mass, Cucumbers is the answer to your prayers. Bring in your church bulletin or Minnesota Atheist newsletter and receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
Welcome back to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. You're tuned in to Atheist Talk, and I'm your host, Hertzy Hertz, here with Jordan, talking about the evil histories of Halloween. Atheist Talk is produced with funding from Minnesota Atheists and Cucumbers Restaurant in Edina, Minnesota. Please consider visiting our sponsors, and if you do, let them know that you appreciate their support of Atheist Talk. If you'd like to advertise on this program and help keep us on the air, please contact us at radio@mnatheist.org. As for the here and now, if you'd like to get involved with a conversation with Jordan and I this morning, you can call us at 952-946-6205, email us at radio@mnatheist.org, tweet us at atheisttalk, or you can use the hashtag that I just set up, which is hashtag Satanic Halloween.
Ooh.
I know.
Excellent.
Got to get creative here. Or you can check out our Facebook page where I've also started a thread. So, Jordan, let us talk more about this evil holiday. We've covered Stonehenge.
Yes.
And now we have to cover the people at Stonehenge.
Okay.
Because there was a very specific group of people.
Yes.
Yes. The Druids. Mm-hmm. Who I have to... Oh, man. There's this interesting difference with the idea of Druids between what I know the Wiccan and pagan communities have their idea. The D&D communities actually do have like the role-playing games, we have this idea. And then... Which actually, I honestly kind of aligns with the pagan and Wiccan communities. And then you have this idea. And this idea is very interesting. So the Druids would come to Stonehenge, which is also interesting because when I read about this, everybody came to these places. It was a huge festival.
Yeah, it was.
It was a party.
Yeah.
There were these huge bonfires. I'm like, why the... Because he'll talk in a moment about the Druids going around to different places. I'm like...
Yes.
They didn't have to. The people were coming to them.
Right. Oh, yeah. This, by the way, this is the same... We're still talking about the same guy in the same video that's on this weird rant.
Yeah, so. I probably should have said something about that.
It's great, though.
It's so good. It's so bad. So,
but yeah, he's... yeah, it's like they would round up all these people and, you know, bring them there. It's like, no.
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 Everybody showed up. It was a party.
Yeah.
Again,
to celebrate the harvest.
Yes. So... The Druids would then, when they came together in these places, would make a huge cauldron of apple cider.
Yes.
Which I was like, what? And the way he talks about this is really misleading because he's making you think it's like this super evil thing. And I'm like, it's apples boiling in water. I'm trying to figure out the evil part here. And then he talks about how the Druids are going out to these noble houses, not with the apple cider. And my favorite part on this is he's talking about the nobles, like lords and dukes and marquises. And I'm like, you are like at least a couple centuries ahead of yourself here. I don't know if the Celts had marquises.
I don't think so.
I know they had chieftains. And I think they might have had like kings, but I don't think they had much more
kings,
than that.
Yes.
Yeah.
They did.
But yes, they would walk around. The Druids would go to all of these noble houses with a dead body, and they would basically go around demanding a human sacrifice,
right,
using the phrase trick or treat.
Yes, that, yeah, it's the, apparently that's the whole origin of trick or treat.
Exactly.
So, which, as I mentioned before, is it's simple Celtic celebration. You know, the dead souls, they want to appease these dead souls that come back, and it's like, here, have some fruit or whatever.
Well, and some of the houses would actually be like, oh yeah, by the way, grandma's coming in. Grandma's been dead for 30 years, but grandma's coming to visit. And they would, you know, actually talk to them as if they were there, which is fascinating.
Yes.
Yes. Let's see here, but where am I in my notes? Yes. And this is the only places that seem to be giving this idea that trick-or-treat is such an evil thing is actually other Christian sites like this.
Yeah.
Like, if you go anywhere outside of that, it's completely different.
Yeah.
The History Channel notes that it was a time of festivals,
yep,
bonfires, no need to go out. And then our lecturer continues stating that the nobles would give them a human sacrifice, or if the nobles gave them a human sacrifice, the Druids would give them a gift of a hollowed out pumpkin. But it's pretty common knowledge that the first lanterns made out of food items in conjunction with Halloween were actually turnips. So it's one of those I'm like, ah, raising my hand going, except I wish I could time travel to this, yeah, to this event and start asking questions. Because pumpkins weren't used until much later.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, if the nobles did not cooperate, they would peck, the druids would paint a hexagram, which is a six-pointed star, yes, on the door.
Yep.
And he notes how this is the most evil symbol of all and is used to summon Satan.
Yes.
And I'm also going, oh my gosh, do you realize how anti-Semitic you sound?
It's like, wait, they used the Star of David?
Well, and admit, you, there is a cult references to this star. I mean, but at the same time, I'm like, this is definitely after World War II. You think he would stop for and take 5 minutes to go,
no,
wait a minute.
But something seems a little bit off here. Maybe I should not do this. But no.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
No.
Admittedly, he actually never mentions the Jews in this. So, I mean, he does mention the Illuminati later in passing.
Oh, does he really? Okay.
Yeah, he does, which made me laugh. I was like, it wasn't enough to actually go into anything about the Illuminati, but he does mention it.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say he maybe is not too concerned with representing the Jews well. This guy is taking his screed against Halloween.
I don't remember anything about that.
Yeah, I don't think he went on a limb like that.
No. Nope.
But I could see him doing it.
I'm just saying he wasn't concerned about it.
Yeah. Well, anyways, 4 to 5 hours later, after the druids had done their walk around, which I'll admit, that's pretty fast if you think about how rural some of these areas were.
Yeah, if you can get around in 5 hours on foot, that's impressive.
I know. Plus, they're dragging around a dead body.
Yes.
And they have a whole bunch of people who are supposedly for human sacrifice.
Yes.
Wow.
How do you track of all these people? It's like, okay, do they do buddy system? I don't know.
All right, everybody raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. All right. And they have the carved pumpkins. So,
yes. Yep.
And then how many pumpkins do you think they would have to prep for this?
A lot.
I mean, I'm not sure how many nobles there were back in the day, but.
So let's try to break this down a little bit. It's like, they got to bring all these pumpkins and people. They just carry them around. They have a wagon. Well, if they have a wagon, that's going to definitely take some time off.
Yeah, it's like I have a minivan, and I think we would need 2 minivans at least. All right. Well,
anyway.
The apple cider was still boiling. So, of course, you have to have enough druids for all of this stuff,
yes,
plus enough to keep the fire stoked for the apple cider to keep boiling.
Yep.
And as a person who loves to cook, I have to question how much liquid was in here at this point, because if you're boiling something for 4 to 5 hours, you need to cover it.
Yes.
And he never mentions covering it.
Yeah, which he could have, but yeah, I don't know. But that's supposedly where the whole apple bobbing.
Yes.
Now, in this video, the guy talks about for the human sacrifices, if they are able to pick an apple out of the cider or water, whichever one it was.
The boiling cider.
Yes, with their teeth, they'll be spared. But if not, sorry, you're going to die. You are a sacrifice.
And that is supposedly how apple bobbing came up.
Yes, we'll get more into that after this.
Oh, yes. So please stay with us and to figure out exactly where apple bobbing really came from, according to the historians, after the break.
Hi, this is Paul Metza inviting you to listen to a great new episode on the Wall of Power Radio Hour this weekend. We interview Charles Pierce, who is one of the most astute liberal bloggers in America. He writes for Esquire.com. He's got a very handy Twitter site with 100,000 followers. We get caught up on all the hot political items of the day. And also, is there such a thing as a blue wave? Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 4 p.m. on AM 950.
Hello, I'm Dave Hutch, DFL endorsed candidate for Hennepin County Sheriff. I've been a police officer for 15 years, and I'm running for sheriff because I believe our elected sheriff should have a vision of public safety that includes everyone, no matter where they're from or what they look like. I believe in transparency, responsiveness, and open communication. As sheriff, I will rethink how the sheriff's office interacts with ICE. I'll require crisis intervention and de-escalation training for all Hennepin County deputies. I'll make it a priority to protect everyone of Hennepin County, including our immigrant communities and our native community. I will provide mentally ill individuals with treatment and services needed to stay out of jail. I will never send Hennepin County deputies to break up protests at places like Standing Rock. And I will never stop working to improve the relationships between the police and the communities we serve. Let's start working together for a safe and healthy Hennepin County. I'm Dave Hutch, and I'm asking for your vote for Hennepin County Sheriff. Paid and prepared by Hutch for Sheriff Volunteer Committee.
Atheists, secular humanists, and free thinkers. Here you are listening to the Minnesota Atheists Talk Radio Show, Atheist Talk. We hope you are enjoying it. If having a frankly atheist perspective on the radio waves appeals to you, please consider making a contribution to our radio fund. Our contract came up for renewal, and we need your help if you want the program to stay on the air. That will make sure that you can continue to have opportunities to hear interesting speakers with non-religious perspectives, and you can call up and ask them questions too. Get the details on our website at minnesotaatheists.org, where you will find buttons to make it easy to make a secure donation through PayPal. Or, if you have a business and would like to reach an intelligent, progressive audience, please contact us through our website. That's minnesotaatheists.org. Or call us at 612-588-7031. If you are interested in us, we are interested in you.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today will be mostly cloudy with a high near 54 and a low around 35. Monday, partly sunny with a high near 59 and a low around 43. And Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 53 and a low around 35.
EatLocalMinnesota.com's restaurant of the week is Cafe Latte. Cafe Latte is a gourmet cafeteria with an ever-changing selection of award-winning salads, sandwiches, and soup. Plus, their bakery specializes in fresh breads and desserts. Check them out at the intersection of Victoria and Grand in St. Paul.
Thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. I'm your host, Hertzy Hertz, and we are having what I would classify as a hilarious conversation with Jordan. If you'd like to get involved in this conversation, you can call us at 952-946-6205. Email us at radio@mnatheist.org or tweet us at Atheist Talk using the hashtag Satanic Halloween. Or you can check out our Facebook where we have a thread going as well. Before we continue with this conversation, there's a bit of housekeeping I need to attend to. I want to note our group of dedicated volunteers and the generous donations of you, our listeners. You help keep Atheist Talk on the air and in podcast form. I also want to note our donors of the week, which actually we don't have a donor of the week, but I do know there was a patron who kicked his Patreon up to $6.66, which is awesome for every reason. So thank you very much for helping make the show go. If you're able to help with a donation, please consider doing so at our Radio Fund page or at our Patreon, where you can get extended interviews at www.patreon.com/atheisttalk. Minnesota Atheist is a 501c3 tax-deductible organization, and we couldn't do the show without you, and we deeply appreciate your support. Music for Minnesota Atheist is by composer and member Brent Michael Davis and is used with permission. Please note, all opinions are of the guests and hosts only and do not necessarily reflect those of the Minnesota Atheist organization. Now let's get back to our conversation. Is conversation the right word? I don't know if conversation is the right word, but let's get back to whatever discussion about this. So when we left, we were talking about, before we get too far, we had a tweet from Atheist Talk Twitter. Yes. That stated that pumpkins are native to North America. So that would be why the Druids could not have pumpkins. And I have to agree with this note, wondering how the supposed Druids were carving them. Did they magic them over with their satanic powers? Because that's a waste of satanic powers.
Yes. We could use our satanic powers to do anything in the world. We're going to get some pumpkins from across the pond. That's the only logical thing we can do right now.
Okay, but at the same time, you know, if you're going to do that, then you might as well make pumpkin pie.
Yes. And they might, yes, they should do that right away.
I know, because pumpkin pie is delicious.
It is.
And if you don't like pumpkin pie, I'm sorry, because now I get more pumpkin pie. All right. So when we were leaving, we were talking about this boiling cider water with apples and people needing to.
Basically, you're apple bobbing for your life.
Yes.
Quite literally.
And if you get it, that's great. But then you've also, scarred yourself a bit. But that really wasn't the actual start of apple bobbing, was it?
No.
At least not according to our research.
Yeah. Well, it said that the Romans, that was actually a Roman festival that was held on November 1st in celebration of the goddess Pomona, who's the goddess of fruits and gardens, et cetera. So that was just something they did.
And wasn't it I think it was the Romans actually who brought the apple tree to England.
Or that to I'm Britain. Not sure of, but
I think I read that. Somebody can correct me on that if they want. but yes, because apples have a long history of being a fertility fruit and such. So a lot of the stuff was, a lot of the lore and legend was things like, they might hang them on a string and then the girls would, like, each of the apples was for a different guy and then the girls would be trying to get the one of the guy they want.
Okay. Well, I read something, too, about that. It goes beyond just, like, apple bobbing. It's like you peel it and then you gotta wrap it around your head or something or throw it over your shoulder.
You have to throw it over your
and
shoulder.
And then it will land on the ground in the initials of, the person you're supposed to be with.
Or at least
like that.
An initial.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff that goes with apples, but all of it, again, has to goes back to fertility.
Yes.
So, this whole thing about, I couldn't find any credible sources linking anything about the boiling water or
this whole
sacrifice.
Boiling water thing that goes back to the Prophecy Club video that this guy is talking about.
And their ilk. And their ilk.
Yeah.
Well, now we have to move on to something that everyone will at least recognize the word for, which is the Wicker Man.
Yes, we need to get into that.
Yes. So, I mean, most of people know the Wicker Man from the 1973 movie and the 2006 movie with Nicolas Cage.
I see you rolling your eyes like at him.
Nicolas Cage and I have a love-hate relationship. He loves to act and I hate him doing it. Except for like maybe one or two movies. But after that, no. But the biggest evidence of this whole... Okay, so let's start with the idea of what the Wicker Man is.
Yes.
Do you want to take that?
Sure. Basically, this is what I believe is what the Druids used for their human sacrifice. So in this video, this gentleman, if I want to call him that, he is talking about building a wicker man for human sacrifice that he said it was approximately 25 to 30 feet tall, about 2 to 3 stories with different cages inside. And that's what they would use to do their human sacrificing. But after a little bit of discussion and a little bit of research, we thought, well, not sure if this will really work out, how it's explained to him. So, Hertz, you had a little bit of interesting commentary about wicker itself.
Well, yeah, because, of course, I'm looking and I'm like, okay, did they actually do this whole wicker? And again, this is a big one where really the only biggest evidence we have of this even existing is a note from Julius Caesar in his commentary on Gallic War, and that's it. There's like, I don't know, maybe a couple of sentences there and maybe a few in a couple other spots. And I'm like, that to me, it's not necessarily credible if we're only getting one side.
Yeah.
Now, granted, the Celts really don't have a written history, so a lot of their stuff is lost. So, there's nothing to refute this either. But One person was talking about the reason they thought that the whole idea of the Wicker Man specifically being used for human and animal sacrifice seemed kind of bunk is wicker, especially when you start burning wicker, it gets really, really brittle.
Yeah.
And it's easy to kind of kick out. Now, I get it. They probably were tied up and such. But at the same time.
But, yeah.
And then also if you look at wicker, it's like you put two people in a wicker chair and you're already starting to think, is this going to break?
And I know I said it before, too. It's like, well, if they're burning this thing from the ground up, which, probably have to, that thing's going to collapse almost immediately.
Yeah.
So then what do they do? They just burn them alive? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like, I could see maybe one or two people, but they were he was talking about this thing was chock full to the point where they had extra cages outside.
Yes, yeah, in case they couldn't fit everybody in.
Yeah, I'm like, I just don't know about that one. Do you have anything? Do you have more about the Wicker too, right? You had the one that they tried to build.
Oh yes, there's a guy that it was an article I read. He did some work over in England, and they actually tried to build a Wicker Man, but the most successful one they did was like it was only like 14 or 15 feet tall. Now maybe they did it differently. I don't know how they're building these things, but it's like doubling that height, it just doesn't seem like it'd be I'm sure it's possible, but then to put people in there.
Yeah, because they're building.
A lot of people in there.
Because when they're doing that 14-foot tall one, they're doing it with the idea that they're not putting people in there. So you could usually go potentially go taller since you don't have to worry about people falling.
Yeah, but I don't know. We could be totally mistaken on this whole thing. But
yeah, honestly, I have a pretty contrary opinion to this.
Oh, what's your come on?
Well, I mean, I just have dealt with wicker before, and it's very strong and lightweight. So yeah, you can bend it, you can crack it, but you can't necessarily push through it.
Oh.
It's not going to separate into pieces.
Okay.
I don't see why they couldn't have done it. I don't really have the specs in front of me or know how the was it thick wicker, was it skinny wicker.
Don't know.
So with your knowledge of wicker, though, do you know about the when it burns, does it become really brittle, or?
It has to be pretty, I think that if you were inside a structure of it, you'd be long since passed out from smoke inhalation.
That's true.
Yeah.
Also means the people didn't burn as much, so I mean, that's a that's a thing.
So.
Anyways.
Well, yeah, that's so yeah.
Contrary opinions.
Yes. So.
At least it's based on the idea of what wicker is as opposed to. All right.
So I don't know a whole lot about wicker, so.
No, so Eric, you're our expert.
Sorry, I did not fully research the tensile strength of wicker before I came into the show today.
That's okay, neither did I. All right, well, we're going to move on to costumes, because this was a big one. And how the Celts, so the Celts would wear the scary costumes to hide from the malevolent spirits. And it's like, actually, yes, that is something that I've seen multiple times on multiple historical sites and such. And of course, according to this guy, you know, this is all evil and they had all these occult stuff on and stuff, which also makes me laugh because if you look at the Dark Ages, people had all sorts of weird talismans going around. So... but yeah, according to the wiki that I found on this, and yes, a lot of this is wiki. We can only go so far with our research on this.
Yep.
Especially since we're trying to be more humorous this week. but people would dress up and they'd go to different houses, and actually it would be like singing or reciting verses for food. I'm like, well, that reminds me of some kind of thing that we do nowadays where we go to different people's houses and we sing and we get stuff. Oh yeah. Caroling. They basically were doing Halloween caroling.
Yeah.
Which makes me sad that we don't have those songs anymore, because that would be kind of fun. I would do it.
Let's bring it back.
Oh, yeah. We'll start singing the theme or the different songs from Nightmare Before Christmas.
Okay.
It'll work.
We're going to sponsor a Minnesota Atheist thing every Halloween. We're just going to go around singing at people's houses. So.
Oh, my gosh. Don't say that, because now I might have to do it, and I am tired. I've been fighting a cold the last 2 weeks, and long with trying to play with a new kitten. This is not easy. But actually, I hate to say it, but this is actually where the video ends. We have a whole other segment that we have to do.
Yes.
Maddie's going to be proud of me, because I stayed within the time limit. Videos for Hertzy Talks goes way longer.
But there was the one other thing that we need to talk about is how it became, like, I guess how it became... more of a what they call satanic holiday, because of all the stuff we've talked about, nothing points to actual like Satanism at all. It's just it's paganism.
Well, okay, so here I hate to spoil this for you, for a lot of these videos, it's the same thing.
Oh, I watched the one.
So. Yeah, you. Yeah, this is anything that does not fit this very particular area of Christianity that they have put themselves in is satanic.
Well, yeah, yeah, and and that's the part that we need to get into also, because it's just like we talked before about, well, not on air, but with Christmas, it's another holiday that was taken over by Christians to appease their own beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I have to go back to the Prophecy Club and watch. I guess I have to watch more of their stuff.
Oh, really? You're gonna watch more?
Oh yeah.
I guess I've made a convert.
Yeah.
No. All right. Well, join us after the break where we will try and we'll talk more about the Prophecy Club and all that fun stuff.
Connections Radio Show is all about tapping into our hardwired hunger to connect. We examine meaningful connections to ourselves, our community, and the world around us. By opening the door to innovative insights by a wide variety of interesting guests, we'll make the connections to something bigger than ourselves. Join me, Lori Fitz, your host of Connections Radio Show, and together, we'll make the connections. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, host of the Minnesota Hospice and Healthcare Show, your source for elder care and caregiver solutions, inviting you to listen to our live call-in show airing on Saturdays from noon to 1. Each week, we provide answers to important questions regarding elder care and caregiver issues to help you and your loved ones plan for the future and enjoy your best quality of life. Please join us this Saturday from noon to 1 for the Minnesota Hospice and Healthcare Show and learn more about us at minnesotahospice.com.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe. I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and France in Edina. Many who have dined at Cucumbers are of the opinion that our buffet has evolved from an older, more country-style buffet. They look at our 50-foot salad bar and can imagine a smaller ancestor with far fewer choices. An ancestor that didn't offer as many hot selections or have a bakery with fresh baked muffins and breads. Didn't offer homemade soups and lacked the fresh fruit and ice cream bar that Cucumbers customers have grown to love. But some will say, where are the transitional buffets? In addition, they look at everything that we offer and say that Cucumbers is irreducibly complex. If you were to move just one of our offerings, the entire buffet wouldn't function. Well, I would like to think that Cucumbers was intelligently designed, since I helped design it. But at the same time, it truly is an evolutionary step up the buffet ladder. And as always, if you bring in your atheist newsletter or church bulletin, you will receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
I've never met another atheist.
Sure you have. Non-believers make up 12% of the population.
Then where are they?
You can meet us at book clubs, pub crawls, discussion groups, movie nights, monthly meetings.
Okay, I get it. How am I going to keep track of all this?
Easy. Sign up for Minnesota Atheist Meetup Group and subscribe to AWE.
What's a meetup group?
Meetup is an online networking site that helps people build communities. We have over 700 members with at least two events every week.
And what is AWE?
It stands for Atheist Weekly Email. It comes out every Friday and lists everything that's going on.
How do I sign up?
Go to the Minnesota Atheists website, minnesotaatheists.org. On the left, click on the words Get Awe-Inspired.
And for the meetup?
Look for the red meetup badge on the right. Above it are the words, click here to check out the meetup group.
I'm sold. Minnesota Atheists, Meetup, and AWE. What's that website again?
MinnesotaAtheists.org.
Welcome back to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. You're tuned into Atheist Talk, and I'm your host, Hertzy Hertz, in studio here with Jordan. This is our final segment, unfortunately, but if you're curious about Minnesota Atheist, you can check out the Minnesota Atheist website. We have previous episodes. You can browse articles, book reviews, and peruse the calendar of upcoming events. You can also sign up for the Atheist Weekly email, which can give you links to upcoming events. We have tons of activities going all around the Twin Cities and the outlying suburbs. If you enjoyed the show and all Minnesota Atheist has to offer, consider becoming a Minnesota Atheist member while you're on the website. Membership has some great perks. Check out the hows and whys on the website. You can also sign up for our newsletter, because Eric was asking about that.
Yeah. Atheists have newsletters, and Christians apparently have bulletins.
I don't know. Tomato, tomato. And now back to the conversation, though, with Jordan and Eric-ish. All right, Jordan, you were going to talk more about how the conversion of Halloween into kind of what we know. Oh, wait, before we do that, sorry. One thing.
Go right ahead.
Oh, yes. If you are looking at the Twitter right now, it is absolutely hilarious.
That one picture you showed me was awesome.
Oh, yes. The atheist Twitter right now has a lovely picture of Nicolas Cage from The Wicker Man asking, is there anything scarier than Nick Cage chewing through scenery? No. No, there's not. No.
I was laughing more at the face he was making, but yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a classic, yeah, classic face.
Yep.
All right. But anyways, you're going to talk about Halloween and kind of some of the stuff that's happened.
Yes. Basically how it became, you know, the Christians kind of took it over. From what I remember reading, Christianity was still kind of fairly new at this point. It didn't have a lot of ground. But they basically saw what all the pagans were doing. And, of course, they didn't like that because the whole thing with the spirits coming back at the end of the harvest, well, they, you know, they obviously thought it was demonic possession. They thought they were evil demons.
Well, the Bible actually does state that you should not talk to the dead. There's actually the whole thing in there, and if you look at some of the videos about Ouija boards, they go into that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, in the Prostate Club video, they talk about the whole Ouija board thing, too.
Oh, so, yes.
But
I love it.
I believe it was, I think it was Pope Gregory at the time. He was trying to, he knew that, you know, they weren't going to get all the pagans on board with, like, what they wanted to do for their celebrations. Because basically what the pagans would do is, you know, they would worship a tree. And Pope Gregory was like, well, we can't get them to not worship the tree. We just need them to change how they're worshiping it. It's like, make this tree for Christ instead. So that's basically, they gradually tried to get them into it and change how the pagans were doing their rituals. And obviously there was a little bit of backlash with them, where the pagans are like, no, we're not going to do that.
Oh, yeah. Well, St. Patrick is well known.
Oh, yeah.
Because he did a lot of that. I mean, that's how we got the Celtic cross, the cross in the circle, and,
yep,
you know, a lot of that. Yes. The whole St. Patrick's Day. Whiskey. I mean.
But, yeah, that's more or less where the Christian part of Halloween came from, unfortunately.
Well, yeah, because they also tried to do this whole thing where basically it was All Hallows Eve, like all...
Yes, All Saints Day.
All Saints Day is the day after
it's
Halloween.
It's November, yes.
Yes, November 1st.
Yep. I grew up Catholic, I remember.
Yes.
It was so boring.
Yes, it was. But yes, like, you know, the Catholic Church or Christianity, they didn't like what was going on, so they had to change it, because obviously, you know, demonic possession or something. Oh, yeah. Like that.
Do you want me to go off on a tangent about Ouija boards, though?
Hey, the Prophecy Club video talks about Ouija boards a little bit, so.
Oh, yes. So the whole thing, because that was actually one of the last videos I did, but the whole thing with Ouija boards makes me laugh. Specifically in 2008. And I'm hoping I'm not repeating myself and I haven't talked about this before, but in 2008, there was a Parker Brothers Ouija board that was pink and purple, and it was really, really girly, and I have one, I think it's still in my car, I think I haven't brought it in. But yeah, so it was a pink and purple Ouija board, definitely made for girls, and there was a huge scare, because they actually do think that Ouija boards are like your first step into summoning Satan.
Yes.
Yes. And it just, the whole, everything about the Ouija board is satanic, which is the part that makes me laugh the hardest. Eventually, though, one of the people decided that they were like, hey, if you use the Ouija board alone, you're going to get all these bad things. And I'm like, oh, you know what I need to do? I need to figure out how this works. So does anyone have any ideas on this? You can definitely email us at radio@mnatheist.org, tweet at us, anything. I will follow this because I need to know exactly how the alone part works.
Yes.
Because you're not supposed to use alone. You're not supposed to use it in a graveyard. And you always have to say goodbye. Those are the three main rules.
Okay.
Yes.
I've never used one, so I don't know the rules. But I think when they sell them...
Who makes those rules?
I have no idea, but I plan on breaking all of them.
But don't they sell them in stores?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think it says it's for like ages 8 and up or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can get them anywhere. You can get the cheap ones.
You have to be 21 to drink alcohol, but you only have to be 8 years old to summon demons.
Well, yeah. I mean, younger, if you think about D&D. I've heard of kids like 5 years old playing D&D.
I suppose.
Yeah. So anyways, but the whole thing with the Ouija board, yes, you're not supposed to play it alone. Now, my big question with this is, what defines alone? If I record myself playing with the Ouija board, is that technically still alone?
I know. Interesting question.
The hard-hitting questions, yes, of atheist talk.
Finally a cure to my depression and loneliness. Just record myself all the time.
You're never really alone.
Well, see, that's the thing. Because it's like... But anyways, yeah, so... Yeah, the Ouija board history comes actually from ancient China, where they had the talking boards with like the things like that. I don't know if I'm just repeating stuff you already know. I feel kind of silly.
I really don't know a whole lot about Ouija boards. So
yeah, it was a 1890s that the first patent for it was done in America. Oh. It is the first and potentially only patent that was done with somebody talking to spirits.
Really?
That actually got him the patent.
That got patented.
Yep. Because
spirit give him authorization?
Well, they had to demonstrate it because the people didn't believe him. And so they had to demonstrate it in the patent office.
Oh, wow.
And of course, this is in the 1890s. This isn't deep in the middle of the Victorian times where everybody was all over, like everyone was like both super Christian and super into all of this, like talking to the dead and such.
Yes.
Excuse me. It was absolutely fascinating.
I've got a hat I can pull rabbits out that I want to get patented.
There you go.
I don't know. They might have a patent for that already. Well, I think we are almost done because the clock says 20 seconds, so I will give us our final exit. Thank you for tuning into Atheist Talk. We'd love for you to join us again next Sunday, which is going to be another exciting episode. I am super excited for this episode coming up next week. I am proud to be on the air with Minnesota Atheists, and join us again next week.